Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning. It is good to be back after having been gone about 7 weeks. We were out in California visiting family and staying in Central Coast California and then taking a trip back visiting places out west in Arizona and Santa Fe and Taos. And oh gosh, folks, we were in Santa Fe when the word came in an early Tuesday morning phone call about the tornado that hit here. And I guess the first thing I want to say is thank God. Apparently there was no loss of life and injury. So you got to start with the positive and where you see grace in it. And I understand, and Brian Lindemann is here with me, you are pretty much every Sunday, making sure that everything works and the show goes. So I wasn't here, but I know that, what, Brian, about 30 homes were damaged in varying degrees?
Yeah, about 30 homes and maybe roughly about a dozen people maybe have gotten small injuries.
Okay.
And things, scratches, scrapes, stitches, those kind of things, but really no serious injuries whatsoever came from the tornado itself.
Praise God. You know, like I say, I always find something good. And of course, the church that I was fortunate to serve here for 12 years, Wesleyan United Methodist Church, received some significant damage. And it's kind of hard to take, but the building is not destroyed and will be repaired. I'm not sure how extensive it's going to be with structural issues and so forth. And the picture I saw, or some of the, saw a few pictures, the inside, the amazing cross is still standing.
Yeah, that's great.
it's just kind of a statement. I also found out yesterday morning that First Presbyterian Church across the street, their roof was lifted.
Yeah, and that's a couple of different people I've actually heard besides that one is folks are now getting their insurance agents to come out, and they're discovering that the pressure in the storm did more damage than they're normally seeing. Roofs lifted, foundations twisted, turned, and so there'll probably be more things coming along. But again, that's what insurance is for and that type of thing, and that's stuff. It's not...
Right. It's not people.
Yeah, it's not
you
people.
Know, and... People are going to say, I would think, certainly have in the past, when like a church is hit, well, gee, where's God? Or is God making a statement? You know, the first thing I want to say is, in addition to the fact that thank God no one was killed or really hurt,
right,
is the church is the people, not the building.
Right.
And buildings can be rebuilt. People can be strengthened through rebuilding after this kind of thing. And as you indicated to me, and I also wanted you to say something about what you've seen here in Muscatine, which is a great town, how people got behind this?
Well, and I guess I have firsthand experience of the compassion that Muscatine has for people. When Calvary went through their tornado issue a couple years back, and dealing with what Wesley's dealing with now, there was an outpouring of community. And as you just mentioned, with a great comment you said was, the church is the people, the church is not the building. When we were under the beer tent out in the parking lot, we were having church, even though we weren't in church.
There you
go. That's a great example of that. But the compassion and the amount of empathy folks have had in town on Facebook, on social media, hey, I've got 2 free days, does somebody can use my help? And the outpouring of people going to help people they've never met, they'll probably never meet again or talk to again, but just being able to help support your neighbor, essentially, even though they're removed by several neighborhoods in town. And it just that... Muscatine's never been short on compassion when the need is arising and when
there
the need's
go.
There. And that's really
it's a great town.
Yeah, very.
And I tell you, but a little side note, we're awful glad to be back in Iowa. I mean, I love the United States. But I guess I'm a Midwesterner, so I'm glad to be back. And you're raising the good that comes from it. Now, I just want to raise the question because we're going somewhere here. This is our jump off point. The question is always raised. God, why? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Why did these things happen? It's a thorny issue. God, how can you, if you are the great God, the good God, the all-powerful God, how can you let these kinds of things happen? How can you justify or explain these things? Or evil? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? How can evil thrive here? And this is a heck of a time, I tell you, with everything that's happened in these last, well, who knows how long. from the Holocaust to 9/11. What is the nature of evil? Now, evil is a great mystery. And there are two basic kinds of evil. And to understand evil, I think the simplest thing is, you know, just take the word evil and turn it. And what does it say? Live. So in a sense, evil is the opposite of life, or that which would seek to destroy life or the continuity or integrity of life. And the two basic kinds of evil, I won't stay here long, I don't want to get too, you know, philosophical, but there's moral evil, and that's human generated. Like those who go bonkers and injure and kill and murder, and the terrorists, and that's a moral evil. That's something in humanity that we have to address. And then there's what's called natural evil, and those are the things that happen with nature, natural occurrences. And so tornadoes, I guess, would certainly be an answer, or an answer, it certainly would be an issue of natural evil, hurricanes, whatever. And the two basic attempts to make sense of it all, even though it's going to always remain a mystery, and in the end I must say, my friends, that however corny it may sound, the best answer comes from a Beatles song. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer, let it be. I've said that to people over the years who have suffered. And the first of these just ways of making sense of things is called the greater good defense. It means good comes from it. This says, okay, you know, God permits some evil to exist because it's necessary to promote, generate a greater good, which could not be achieved without its presence and activity. This argument assumes that, you know, some evils are required to achieve certain good ends, and that second good is attained, or the good that is attained, is greater than the evil. And third, that the same or a greater degree of good could not be achieved by any other means that did not include such evil or such suffering. So pain has a value, as we're going to say. You know, ever heard that phrase? Oh, I have, certainly. No pain, no gain. Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I remember Paris Island at 12 weeks and how the pain was in the beginning, but by the time of the 12 weeks, the gain was well worth the pain. Or going to a dentist, and I thank God there are, you know, things that they do, Novocaine and laughing gas and so forth, so that we don't suffer. Or surgery that we may not suffer during, but we have pain issues afterwards. Well, there's a greater good that comes from it. And can account for both. So, Brian, you and I were just talking about the good that is coming from the tornado is an opportunity for people to work together, to grow together in many positive ways. So good comes from it. And Romans 8:28 is the passage. We know that from everything God works good. And second is, this is kind of an interesting twist. It's called the free will defense. Now, just listen to this. This says that God could not create beings like humans who have free will but are incapable of doing evil. So imagine if God gives us the capacity to do evil but will not permit us to do it, because after all, that would hurt somebody. This seems necessary, this freedom, to include the capacity to actually choose what is wrong, even wicked. So this addresses only the moral evil. Now, it could lead to the whole thing of judgment. So maybe one of the reasons we're here is for God to find out, for us to show God and ourselves who we really are by our actions and how we exercise our free will. What good do you do? What evil have you done? So that in a sense, God doesn't have to judge us. Just look and see the evidence. Free will does have a price. As much as I detest a Hitler, look at all those who served and exercised their free will and continue to do so. The terrorists. How can they do what they do? How can the bombs be exploded, the suicides, all in the name of God? How twisted, how utterly twisted, yet chosen via free will of demented people. It's amazing. Which leads really to the next question that I want to spend most of the time focusing on. And I really want to be positive here. This, I know, is a painful subject to talk about pain, to talk about suffering, and how God seems to permit it and the good that may come from it. Why do we suffer? It's called the problem of pain. Well, you know, you have to ask, well, why are we here? What's the purpose of life? What's the end? What's the goal? And can we attain it without pain and suffering? Pain, suffering, afflictions, trials, tribulations, these are all primal mysteries, as ultimately unanswerable as to the whys of life itself. Hey, what about the why of pleasure? Why is there pleasure? Why is there joy? What about love? The positive that is there that must be examined as well as the negative. But the issue can plague us. Why do we suffer? Why is there pain? Well, to truly understand the why of suffering, you need to understand what came before this life and what's going to come after, if anything. Is it possible that the positive fruit of suffering will not be seen here, but in what is to come? That has been the church's position from the biblical times onward. Jesus said our reward for suffering would be great in heaven. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people the most to be pitied. If it is for this life only. You know, this life was, for millennia has been understood to be the vestibule, the beginning, and what is to come after this life. When you begin to see why we go through the things we went through. Why did I have to go through the 12 weeks of Paris Island to become a Marine? Because at the end of the 12 weeks, I was a different, better person. Able to withstand things I didn't think I could withstand. Able to do things I didn't think I would be able to do. Let me read from you one of my favorite authors, Khalil Gibran, in his masterpiece, The Prophet. First, a section on love that the first time I read it, I cried. Well, you'll hear why, because it speaks to the necessity of the willingness to suffer, to love itself. And those of us who have suffered and love understand, you can't have love without at least the vulnerability to suffer. This is the prophet speaking. When love beckons you, follow him. Though his ways are hard and steep, and when his wings enfold you, yield to him. Though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you, and when he speaks to you, believe in him. Though his voice may shatter your dreams as the north wind lays waste the garden. For even as love crowns you, so shall he crucify you. Even as he is for your growth, so is he for your pruning. Even as he ascends to your height and caresses your tenderest branches that quiver in the sun, so shall he descend to your roots and shake them in their clinging to the earth. Like sheaves of corn, he gathers you unto himself. He threshes you to make you naked. He shifts you to free you from your husks. He grinds you to whiteness. He kneads you until you are pliant, and then he assigns you to his sacred fire, that you may become sacred bread for God's sacred feast. All these things shall love do unto you, that you may know the secrets of your heart, and in that knowledge become a fragment of life's heart. But if in your fear you would seek only love's peace and love's pleasure, then it is better for you that you cover your nakedness and pass out of love's threshing floor into the seasonless world where you shall laugh, but not all of your laughter, and weep, but not all of your tears. Love gives not but itself and takes not but from itself. Love possesses not, nor would it be possessed. For love is sufficient unto love. When you love, you should not say, God is in my heart, but rather, I am in the heart of God. And think not you can direct the course of love, for love, if it finds you worthy, directs your course. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself. But if you love and must needs have desires, let these be your desires. To melt and be like a running brook that sings its melody to the night. To know the pain of too much tenderness. To be wounded by your own understanding of love, and to bleed willingly and joyfully. To wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving. To rest at the noon hour and meditate love's ecstasy. To return home at eventide with gratitude, and then to sleep with a prayer for the beloved in your heart and a song of praise upon your lips. Let's let that sink in as we listen to the weather.
This is Brian Gedkin with BBG Sound here in Muscatine, ready to service your professional sound system. From system tuning to complete system design, we can take care of all your commercial sound needs. Please call us at 563-299-4853 or visit bbgsound.net.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. A winter weather advisory begins at 7 p.m. this evening and continues until 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. 38 today, under cloudy skies, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely tonight, 29. 4 to 8 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Proud to be the radio station you come home to. This is KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
We are back. I'm going to read one more of the messages from Khalil Gibran's book, The Prophet, on pain itself. Equally profound. Here's what he said. Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Even as the stone of the fruit must break, that its heart may stand in the sun, so must you know pain. And if you could keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of your life, your pain would not seem less wondrous than your joy. And you would accept the seasons of your heart, even as you have always accepted the seasons that pass over your fields. And you would watch with serenity through the winters of your grief. Much of your pain is self-chosen. It is the bitter potion by which the physician within you heals your sick self. Therefore, trust the physician and drink his remedy in silence and tranquility. For his hand, though heavy and hard, is guided by the tender hand of the unseen. And the cup he brings, though it burn your lips, has been fashioned of the clay which the potter has moistened with his own sacred tears. Wow. Okay, some reasons why we suffer. Well, it's our nature. That's the way God made us, to be vulnerable and fragile, as well as protective and persevering. Suffering is built into the very nature of life. How interesting then that Gibran also said, who knows but that the angels envy us our pain. I'll come back to that in a minute. We suffer because we make bad or wrong choices and have to learn by bearing the consequences. We suffer because of the bad or wrong choices others make in word and deed, and we suffer the consequences. We suffer because of the strangeness of nature and its terrifying unpredictability and capacity to destroy as well as promote life. We suffer because of evil, which, as I've said, is the opposite of the word live. Evil is a privation or absence of good. Evil is also an objective force and gets us into the evil one. And the evil ones we see around today as always, and today those who are perpetrating great evil while saying it's God's will, that is an abomination to the holy. What intensifies our suffering? Duration. How long does it go on? Repetition. Is it a one-time deal? Or is it on and on and on? Our doubt of God and of there being any good in life. Depression. Hopelessness. Uncertainty. Anxiety. Ambiguity regarding how long, how bad, what's next? What alleviates or decreases our suffering? Well, first of all, faith. There will be an answer. Let it be. Have faith. Choose faith, hope, and love, these three. Hope in God, not just in this or that thing happening, but put your heart like an anchor onto the throne of God. Trust in God. Hope in God. Detachment, that gets us into the whole Eastern Buddhistic understanding of letting go and letting be of life and relationships. Let go. Time. I'm not sure time heals all wounds, but it sure makes suffering easier. Finding a purpose or a meaning to your suffering. Dr. Viktor Frankl wrote a great book, Logotherapy, after what he went through in Auschwitz. And he built it around the great statement from the philosopher Nietzsche. A person who has a why to live can accept almost anyhow if you have a reason. You know, like that song, to dream the impossible dream, to beat the unbeatable foe. This is my quest, it's this purpose for which the person's willing to go through whatever. Different kinds of suffering. There's suffering of body, suffering of soul, suffering of spirit with relationships that go awry. Well, pain is a necessary change agent. It tells us things are changing, things need to, something's wrong. Sooner or later, everything must change. Nothing here is permanent, beginning with our own existence. Our presence is really a passage, a journey, a pilgrimage from where we can't remember toward what we cannot know, yet may have faith, a faith which is a hidden knowledge of what is to come. Pain is timed, kind of like a metered agent. You know, the longest it can last is for your life. And then God promises, we see in Revelation, that God will dry all of our tears. It'll all be over. We will have gained and grown from what we have suffered through, as well as the joys that we have experienced. We suffer and we have great things. We have the pit and the peak. We have those things that are difficult and those great joys, like the birth of a baby or whatever it is for which we must give thanks. At the same time, we suffer. Pain is measured when you think about it. You know that... how much pain we can suffer, at a certain point, we're going to go unconscious physically. It's like how much our bodies can bear to the point of going under. Now, we are told scripturally that we're not going to receive more than we can bear in accordance with God's understanding of our frame. Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I tell people the one exception is this. When Christ intends to carry you and your pain, that means when you simply are not supposed to and cannot get through something on your own, when you need to be dependent on God. And of course, most of us are familiar with the footprints in the sand. Lord, I thought you were with me all the time. There were two sets, and then there was one. Jesus said, that's when I carried you. Okay, three primary purposes, things that come out of good, if I may say, that comes out of our suffering and pain. One, education. Crackling of the shell that surrounds your understanding. I remember foolishly saying to my mother at age 16, Mom, I think I have to suffer a lot to learn what's really going on in life. I'm going to have to suffer. Duh, be careful what you ask for. We learn, we learn more from our mistakes than our successes, more from our failures than what we do right. We learn. It's a necessary thing to learn. Second, discipline. What do I need to do? What do I need to become here? I must do all that I can now so that when the time comes, I can do all that I must. Great statement from Franz Rosenzweig. I must do all that I can now so that when the time comes, I can do all that I must. We need to become disciplined. Sometimes that means delayed gratification. Oh, boy. How well disciplined are we today as a people? Third, healing. What do I need to overcome, resolve, reconcile? Healing can come through pain, just like sometimes we need to cauterize a wound, even in our hearts. The deepest purpose of pain lies actually hidden in the pain itself. Can't ever be fully spoken. Now, I've done hundreds of funerals, and on numerous occasions, in talking with grieving loved ones, I've asked them this question. If I could take your pain away right now, take it all away, would you let me? What do you think they say? No, because then you would take my love away, my memory of my beloved. Wow. Pain announces that, something is wrong. Something needs to be addressed. Something is in process. I have a question for you, and I've raised this question. just think about this. Follow this with me, would you? What if God's healing of our suffering is greater than the pain itself? And what if you need to go through the suffering in order to receive the healing? Now, let me give an example of that. Let's say that you had an abscess or a wound on your right forearm, okay? And I had a healing balm, a fluid, a medication that I put on that gave such, not just relief, but such comfort that you didn't want to ever have that removed, that medication. What if God's love, God's healing of us is greater than the pain itself, so that we're not going to say, oh, God, thank you that I suffered, but oh, thank you that you have given me this comfort, this wondrous comfort. What if the holy ointment of God, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the wound? If so, then the less wounded we are, the less we're likely to feel and relish God's healing. Yeah. As I have written, pain is a hidden miracle, for its fingers shall hollow a small cup into a hollow chalice. And when the wine comes, or a hollow small cup into a hollow chalice, there we go. And when the wine comes, you shall but pity those whose cups are easily filled. They will not know your ecstasy, yet they too will be fulfilled. So there's purpose, and in the end, God wins, and you win with God. If you would like to hear this again or share it with a friend, I'm going to be putting it on my website shortly, which is drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. And if you would like to write me with something you would wish that I address, give me a text me. Write me at drhalgreen@gmail, drhalgreen@gmail.com. All will be well. God bless you, and thank God things are where they are today. Peace.
This is your home in the country. KWPC, K236CF, Muscatine. KWPC.